So, Jeff, you were talking about the Cavs before, and I'm sitting here just like, I feel extremely confident in the Cavaliers. Like, I'm the kind of guy that says, rip your rearview mirror off. It doesn't matter. Do what you need to do, and then everything else will come into play.
What are you looking back at anyway?
Looking back at the regular season, looking back at what you've been able to do so far, and, you know, you can't live in the past. You got to move forward. And so I just wonder, and I don't really have any negative thoughts about the Cavaliers going into this. I'm not thinking, how can they get beat? But then you started talking, and all of a sudden the negative little cells in my brain start floating around, and I'm like, how disappointed would Cavalier fans be if they get knocked out in this round? Does it eliminate the entire season?
I would think that Cav fans think that this is just something they have to go through to get to Boston.
Yeah.
I truly think Cav fans have felt that all season long, that it's going to be Cavs-Boston, and the winner goes to the NBA Finals.
Right.
You better not sleep on the Indiana Pacers.
This would be,
and the Celtics better not sleep on the Knicks if the Knicks get past Detroit.
I'm trying to think the last time we felt this kind of disappointment would probably be if for some reason they would get knocked out, would it be the same as when Orlando knocked the Cavs out with LeBron?
Yeah.
It'd be the same, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
Although that was in the Eastern Conference Finals.
With Dwight Howard and that whole crew. And Stan Van Gundy as coach.
Yeah.
How do the Cavs win this series? I think it's pretty...
If they get knocked out, does it eliminate the whole season? Like, if they walk into this and they don't win, what does that say about everything?
It says that it's the NBA and it's competitive, which people don't want to believe and sometimes don't understand. You know, Indiana's a good team. Rick Carlisle is a good coach. Indiana presents its own set of problems for an opponent. And the set of problems that it poses for the Cavaliers is they have four starters between 6'4 and about 6', I think Siakam 6'7, who get up and down the floor, are really athletic. That's the problem that they pose. How do the Cavs win the series? I think two ways. Donovan and Darius do what they do. Do not dominate the ball. Do what they did in the regular season, which is share the ball, because the Cavaliers have a size advantage here.
Mm-hmm.
They have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Indiana has Miles Turner. I think Evan Mobley could be huge in this series. Who's going to be guarding him? Miles Turner? Okay, well, then there's Jared Allen. You can get Jared at the rim and get him some easy baskets.
Okay.
I think the Cavs have a size advantage here inside against Indiana that if they choose to, they can exploit. And if they don't choose to exploit it, A, I'd be surprised, and B, that means that Darius and Donovan better be really good. Really good. And better be really effective against a bigger backcourt. And they've been effective against bigger backcourts all season long. But, you know, for whatever it's worth, the one game where they all played, it was the first game against Indiana, and the Cavs lost that game at home. That doesn't mean anything? Not really.
No.
But it's the only game of the four games in the regular season that I think you can look at and maybe draw any conclusions from. Maybe draw any conclusions from.
I think you're right. When you talk about what Evan Mobley is going to be able to do in this.
I think he could be huge, Andy.
Yeah, and I think kind of goes but the other part of it, too, is Halliburton against Mitchell or Garland. I don't think there's any... If they can guard him defensively, then I think they should be able to do what they do offensively. I get nervous when guys start running down the floor and they just start heaving shots. That's the Cavalier team I don't like. I don't like watching that team. I don't like the team that feels like they've got to shoot the ball in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. That drives me crazy. I really think the Cavs' biggest enemy in this thing, and I know you're giving Indiana credit, and I'm giving them credit too. They're a damn good team, and you want to talk about fighting till the end. They fight till the end. They're a great fourth quarter team, as we saw again yesterday. I just feel in some ways it's Cavs versus Cavs, because if the Cavs execute to the best of their ability, I don't think there's any question they win this series. And I think Cavalier fans are looking at this, going back to that original conversation, I think Cavalier fans are looking at this series and go, well, are they going to win in five? Are they going to win in six? Could this thing go seven? Like, that's how I think Cavalier fans are viewing this. And they're not saying, we could lose in six or we could lose in seven. I think Cavalier fans are looking at this series right now and saying, five, six, or seven. That's all they're asking themselves.
Well, but seven's a real series, Andy.
Well, I agree.
Yeah. Bill's in Parma. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, you guys. Great discussion. And I always enjoy basketball. I see the Cavaliers as having two teams. As we saw the other night with Miami, with Ty Jerome playing, who's 6'5", and Mitchell 6'1", those matchups, that is a championship playoff team caliber size-wise. To go out there with Garland with 2 6'1" guards, that just doesn't work. The other thing that we saw the other night was the level of defensive play. Now, one could say that Miami was without some players and stuff. Besides
and,
that,
and without motivation for whatever reason, Bill.
For whatever reason, but nonetheless, the intensity throughout the game was significant. And also, one other thing was Jerome, out of nowhere one game, had 11 assists. We never see a player, a guard, have 11 assists. So, but there's one statistic that makes the biggest difference in making this decision, who starts and who doesn't start. Because my own bias in the playoffs is Jerome starts. Is Garland makes $40 million a year, and Jerome makes $2.5 million. And you just the team cannot set a $40 million guy on the bench. They'll have trouble trading him, all this kind of stuff. And their hands are tied to play start 2 6'1" guards. And I'm sorry to see that.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. Thanks. And clearly, during the regular season, those guys played well together. And if you've listened to our show for any great length of time or even barely at all, you know that my sentiments about the small backcourt started the moment they made the trade for Donovan. Bill's been in agreement the whole time, too. It can be a challenge. And doesn't mean you can't be great. Doesn't mean you can't win big, because I think you can. But it can be a challenge. And they're going to get that with a 6'4 and a 6'5 guy in the backcourt for the Indiana Pacers. John is in Avon, home of the Eagles. What's up, John?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I went to the game last night, the Guardians game, and what a mess that was. Man, I took my family, and we showed up, and I was watching the weather all day.
Yeah.
And the National Weather Service completely, like, put away all the severe weather alerts for us. And we got several different start times. We watched that white tarp for hours.
How'd that look?
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, they came out. When they finally came out, we stayed till about 9 o'clock. The crew came out, and they came out and unrolled it. It took them, like, maybe 7 minutes to do it. And then not a minute later, they rolled it back out again. And it drizzled for, like 3 minutes. We never left our seats.
Well, somebody made a bad call on that one, John.
Yeah.
Sorry about that for you. We were talking Cavs. I punched up John by mistake.
Sorry. Do you ever notice we don't get weather delays at basketball? The only time it ever happens is when the ice starts to melt underneath and they put it on top of the rink.
We have a good buddy whose thought was this: give me a roof and a clock every day of the week.
Smartest advice ever.
Give me a roof and a clock. I'm really anxious to see this playoff series because I do think it'll be a good one. And I think Indiana will give the Cavaliers a real challenge and could beat the Cavaliers, but I don't think they will. I think the Cavs get it done and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Starts on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't feel the there's no buzz right now on this, maybe just because we found out who they're playing last night. The buzz will probably start next week. And if you know when
the buzz will start?
After they lose a game?
That's correct. Until then, Cavs fans, if you don't agree, I think Cavs fans are going to be, hey, great. When's the Boston series start?
It's still all Boston, huh?
You're going to need a slap in the face for that to change.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you definitely have a brick wall up here with Indiana. I don't know. I think
Indiana's a really good team.
I do, too. But the other problem is I'm not going to disrespect. I don't care if Miami laid down and said, go ahead and score a million times over. They still had to play, and they still had to play hard. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday.
They played really hard. What was it, 70 to 25?
Yeah, but they kept playing. And Kenny Atkinson kept...
Oh, the Cavs did. They were terrific.
Well, and they kept coaching, too. That was the other thing, too, because normally...
Oh, don't blame the Cavs. The Cavs were great.
Well, what was it, third quarter in the game four, when Kenny decided he wanted to have a video review of a block that was called a foul, I'm like, oh, my God, they're up 50. What's he doing? Yeah. Like, why is he doing this? And then I'm like, you know what? It's the NBA, and it's the playoffs, and you better play hard until the whistles, until they blow the final horn off. That's it. It doesn't matter if you win by one or win by 101.
Brian Baldinger was on the morning show, and Brian, former NFL player and does a lot of stuff and media guy, and he had some thoughts about what the Browns did in the draft that you might enjoy. At the very least, they'll either make you think, yes, absolutely, or shut up, Brian. They're coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.